Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for everyone. And thank you for answered prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are getting ready for evangelism tomorrow, which is like a general day. And like I always do, or would I say I frequently do, as you go out in the preaching of God's word, one of the things you must get to understand is that there are going to be different reactions to your preaching. And you must know how to handle the different responses to your preaching. You know, the evangelist who is skilled knows how to handle all the types of reactions that come when he goes to preach. Now, when I say the evangelist, I don't mean somebody who necessarily stands in the office of an evangelist, but then somebody who goes out in the telling of the message. And I was likened to a town crier. That's who an evangelist. So he stands in the middle of the town. So he stands and he cries out the message of the king. You know, stands in the middle of a town. If it's a gong or it's any instrument, he hits it, tells the people. The king says that tomorrow by this time, everybody should be at the palace by 6 a.m. in the morning. So he's just a carrier of the message. Now, I've had the opportunity to hear some experiences, and you get to realize that people do not know how to receive the different reactions that come to them when they go out to preach the gospel. And I'll show you a couple of scriptures because it's very biblical to have different types of reactions, and you must know how to handle them as they come. It happened to the prophets of old with different reactions. It happened to Jesus. It happened to the apostles. It certainly happened to Paul's disciples, Timothy, Titus. You cannot escape. It's going to happen to you. So, you must be that ready man, ready for any type of reaction. And besides, a good town crier or a good evangelist is going to be much more concerned about intelligently sowing the gospel rather than looking at how other people tend to respond or react to the message. You do your part of intelligently sowing the word of God, and then you allow God to handle his part. So, all of these prophets, Jesus, Paul, the apostles, they all experienced all of these. And so, we are not going to be left out. Now, I'd like us to see something interesting in Acts of the Apostles, 17th chapter, 32nd verse, to somewhere around verse 34. So that your heart is not broken. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. So, number one, you are going to have mocking. Of course, you're not going to have everyone mock at you, but then you're going to have this some way, somehow in your evangelism. You know, mocking refers to more like where people make fun of you. You know, they scorn at you. You know, they laugh at what you have to say. They call you unwise. I had a couple of people, you know, come to me very brokenhearted. And I'm asking why. Say, I was preaching. Can you imagine? And he was laughing at me while I was preaching the word of God. You know it as the word of God. He doesn't. So you must be very intentional. You know, more like you know. And you have a response. So Paul is getting mocked. So when they heard, so it means he was preaching. When they heard, now these are different mixed kind of, you know, responses. But then you're going to have it either mixed or you're going to have it solely standing on its own when you go out to preach. So when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. So there is such a thing as going to preach the gospel and being mocked. Being scorned at, laughed at, called a fool. You know, one time I went to somewhere like that. And the man laughed. He said, "Oh, this thing you are doing, I've done it before." Now I'm too busy. But this thing I've done it before. So he laughed. He was listening. He laughed. He said, "Oh, he has done it before." I said, "Okay." So you will be mocked. You can be laughed at. Sometimes your colleagues, they call you funny names. Oh, the other Jesus, etonobosu, means you put Jesus on your chest. Evangelist, then maybe if you are called Rita, the evangelists are, you know, mocked by other people who will not preach, or mocked by the hearer of the message. But then, I want you to understand that in nothing should you be terrified. Are you listening? Do not be terrified. Don't be blown away. Don't be hurt that you are being mocked. So Paul, after the head of the resurrection of the dead. Now, the resurrection of the dead, actually, is quite a very serious matter when it comes to Jewish religions. But then we're not going to go into that. But we see clearly that some mocked. Now, the next group of people and others said, "We will hear thee again on this matter." Wow. We're going to hear you again. Okay, what you have as a submission is good. Or I need to go think about what you just told me. I'd like to hear you again. Next 2 weeks, would you be around? I'll be around on Tuesday. Can you come again? That's a reaction or a response people will get. They want to hear you again. They want to know whether the facts after their thoughts line up very well. So they are curious. You meet people who want to hear you again. Now, in that wanting to hear you, some of them would be just naturally curious because they get to know what you have. Now, there are other people who are also not curious per se, but they want to think over what you just shared with them. There are also other people who will want to go back and ask other people about what you said to them. But in all of these things, I want to encourage you that these are things you are going to meet. Now, see verse 33. So Paul did what? He departed from them. So you're going to be mocked. Others will say, "Let's hear you again." It's all okay. So what did Paul do? "We'll hear thee again on this matter." It means give us a few more days, give us a few more weeks. Can you come back again next week? What you're saying means a lot. It makes a lot of sense. It's the first time I'm hearing it. Can you come back again? So you're going to find people, you know, telling you, "Come back." But look at a group of people in verse 34. "Howbeit, certain men clave unto him." So what that means is that out of your preaching, you shouldn't only be saying that you want the people who clave unto you. The claving unto you are eventually going to become disciples. They clave unto them. They will follow you from the moment they hear you preach and teach to them or explain God's word to them or, you know, start a communication with them that lands in the gospel. They're going to cleave to you. That's also a reaction or a response. We want to follow you everywhere you go. We want to be with you wherever you are. You say, "Are you sure?" So, of course. Where else can we go? Like, you know, a disciple responds to Jesus in John 6. "To whom shall we go to? It is you that have the words of life." You're going to have friends and people. They are going to want to cleave to you. Be happy about the cleaving. Be happy about the ones that say they are going to hear you again. Also be happy about the mockers. So there are certain men who are going to cleave to you, and they will not just cleave to you, they will believe in what you are saying. The writer of Acts, definitely Luke. So Luke is giving us the names of these people. He says, among which was Dionysus. They are Areopagite, and a woman called Damaris, and others with them. There's nothing wrong with you when they mock you. There's nothing wrong with you when they say, "Come 2 days to time." There's also nothing wrong with you when they cleave unto you. You just be a good evangelist of going to preach God's word. See Acts 2 verse 41. So we've seen people, you're going to be mocked. The mocking can be silent mocking. Sometimes it's loud, but either of the case, when it comes, just know that these are things that you will experience or encounter. Some others are also going to receive the word with gladness. Acts 2:41. Oh, wow. Which church are you, did you say you attend? Oh, come in. Sit down. Can we give you water? No, please, ma. How about Coke? No, please, ma. How about, hey, we just finished eating jollof. But there's yam. Should I put on yam for you? No, please, ma. I'm okay now. See, so what can we offer you? Say, I came to preach. Wow. God bless you. We are listening to you. Then you are excited. Not everybody. You also meet somebody. The person is mocking you. Be ready for all of them. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they that gladly received his words were baptized. So they received God's word with gladness. Don't be only looking for those who receive the word of God with gladness. With gladness. Oh wow. Is that so? Hey, Jesus died for me. Oh, so I can really speak in tongues too. Oh, I can come to church. Then you are very excited. But the ones are, wow, look at you. Small girl like you. You know, one time, somebody told me that somebody told a fellow that, look at you, all of these girls. Very soon you stop, you'll be sleeping around. that's not good. I mean, if you will not listen, just agree. Oh, you, don't worry. Ha 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 ha. Just give her 2 years. So receive the mocking just the same way you receive them with gladness. So there are others who are receiving with gladness. Be ready for all of these. Now, Friday evenings, we have conversations around spices for evangelism. That's why I take time to explain these so that it can help you when you go out to preach, you go out to teach. So they show gladness. They have a positive, eager, joyful approach and response to the words that you share with them. Now, there are others. Acts 17, verse 11, they receive the word with readiness of mind. Have you met some people like that? You don't even ask them to pick a Bible, then they go and pick their Bible. Before you even say, pick your book and pen, they already have a book and pen. Like, they are ready. What do you have to say? So, there are also some who are going to receive the word with readiness of mind. You know, those people are the people who take the academics seriously, naturally. So they pick their Bible. They pick their book. Before I realize, they pick their pen. Then under their pillow, they have a highlighter. Say, please, ma. They're already calling you ma. Please, sir. Please, what verse did you mention? Oh, Matthew chapter 2. Okay, Matthew. The Matthew we all know. Yes, please, the Matthew we all know. And then they write it down, chapter 2, verse 2. And then maybe when you're talking, maybe you're talking fast, they'll say, oh, please, can you re-say what you said before? So they receive the word of God with readiness of mind. Some of them also will not necessarily pick a book or a pen, but then they are attentive to what you are saying. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the people of Berea were just like that. Bible says they were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And they searched the scriptures daily. Those are another kind of people you meet. Don't despise the one that picks their Bible, that picks their book, readiness of mind. Don't despise the mocker and then be more drawn towards the one that picks their book. Love them all the same. They are all different reactions you receive when you go on evangelism, right? So there are other people, they start discipleship today. Give them 2 months. They are already learning quickly. You know, they are picking up, like they pick up. There's somebody like that. I saw her, she just came in. And then all of a sudden, like she picks up the thing very quickly. I was like, wow. And those people are a great delight. She just picks up quickly. Like, she sounds like us. She flows like us. She gets along like us. She talks like as if she's already been here. So there are people who pick up really quickly. I would like to call them the Berean family, I should believe, in quotes. You see them explaining the things just exactly the same, but they've just been not here too long. The evangelist likes those people because he can win them easily and then grow them quickly so they can grow up into the work that they have to grow up into. But do not be so drawn to the one that is ready in the mind, and then you despise the one that mocks. All of them, they are all for you. And as a disciple, you see that people are different. As a pastor, I see that people are very different. You teach someone one, two, the person has it already. Another, you have to teach, explain, expound, bring Bible, show concordance. You know, try to explain. This is how it's supposed, before the person will now get it. Now, when they get it too, is another problem, because they are going to go back and come back again with some kind of issue. But in your discipleships, don't despise anyone. They are all important. So the Bereans received the word with readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily. If an evangelist is going out to preach, you see that they receive the word. Before you now say, oh yes, we, they are singing, like their hearts are open. Today we are going to preach this word. Yes, please, sir. Ride on, sir. Their responses, like they give you readiness of mind. Not jokingly, their hearts are open already. But you know why? These were more noble. Noble. You know, nobility is a virtue. That's why I said those kind of people, they also take the academics seriously. Because if you are like that sister, you don't even know what a highlighter is. Right? What are you? What is highlighter for what? What are you using a highlighter for? What are you using a highlighter for? But you would not use it for anything. But somebody has a highlighter under her pillow, two, red and yellow. So the person is noble, has a virtue of nobility, and is with that same virtue they receive God's word with. And that's why their growth is pretty much interesting. So don't worry about it. Just be fine, huh? Now, there are also some people who are going to receive the word of God with joy. I don't like to say this, but then when they receive it, they fall away. We see that in Matthew's Gospel 13:20-21, in the parable of the sower, Jesus said, he that receiveth the seeds into a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath no root in himself. So you start preaching. They are listening. They go, 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 go. Then, yes, it's true. What you are saying is true, I believe. Then you start with them. A few weeks later, you say, oh, I've forgotten. What did you say? I really can't remember like that. It's all fine. They, at that point in time, they receive it. So you must be ready. Now, there are also some who are going to reject your message, and they are going to reject you. They're going to reject you. In John chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, he came unto his own and his own received him not. People who are going to reject the message, Right? Going to reject the message. So don't be afraid when people reject you. Expect that. But the rejections are supposed to be few. But it happens. I won't listen to you. Leave my room. Coco, you stand there, you knock for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes. Please, I'm not minding you. Take your message away. I don't want to see you. Don't feel hurt. Don't feel like, Don't feel like there's something wrong with you. No. They reject you because of what you carry, which is the message. So they reject the message as well. So don't be afraid. That's why you shouldn't change your face when somebody rejects you. Change your face when somebody mocks you. You should still be smiling because yours is just to bear the message. Yours is just to bear the message joyfully. You know, somebody shares with me, and the person was sharing with me is a big brother. He was telling me when he was in the university and how that a certain church came to preach to him, and how that they laughed at him, said things that were not true about him. And he said he remembers his face. He said the guy was just smiling. And the funny thing was that after all the basketballs, the guy got them all and discipled them and got them in church. So sometimes it's your patience with them. Sometimes it's your patience with them. It makes a lot of difference. Your patience after you have been rejected. Evangelist, you knock on someone's door. They already know you. And then you the person says, "Hey, I'm not coming." Evangelist, message, send your message away. Evangelist, you now stand in the window and say, "Hey, if you not receive it, somebody will receive it." Oh, go you. Evangelist. Oh boy. Oh, evangelist. Oh, go you through the window. You have not even seen the person's face. Oh, go you. If you don't receive, somebody will receive. Let's go. Evangelist. Evangelist, we don't preach like that. You don't preach with your heart and your anger. Leave your heart at home. When you stand in front of someone's door, leave your heart, leave it at home. Look, you people, I've been timing you all this while. God says I should tell you, when he comes, you will not go. God says I should tell you, the person listening to me, God says I should tell you, all of you, in fact, all of you, you would die one by one by one. Ooh. Evangelist. It's like evangelist that has preached and said, "I'm coming to take you to church." The next day, the person is not there. You go there, you are angry. You don't even know what to do. Evangelist, we don't use anger in this thing, eh? We don't use anger in this thing. Don't use anger. Maybe the person is not there. Maybe because the person saw that you told the person you come at 10. 9:50 thereabout. Person went upstairs. That's all you've met. You've lost the person. Then you now, after the service, you now pick your phone. Evangelist, is that how to do it? You now call the person. I've always told you, your life is very short. In fact, your whole generation, everybody, their lives are short. And I want to tell you, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll see what will happen to you. In fact, I can see that your days are numbered. Yes, you're about to go. Evangelist. We don't preach with our hearts. It's not anger. You're going to be patient. Are you listening? Just be patient. Be patient. When you go, preach beautifully. Stand firmly with the message that you preach. Preach it in confidence. Go with a lot of compelling. But whenever it seems like they slip out, don't go back in the flesh trying to, you know, get to them in the flesh. Sometimes it's actually love that draws them. You see, you try to preach them. They say, don't listen. Something happened. You were there for them. You know, you helped them do something. At a point in time, they're going to listen to you and they're going to follow you. Because love is a very strong force. Evangelist, your heart, that's your heart. Please, we don't use it in this work. So leave your heart. Makuma apa, apa. We don't use that here. Okay, so leave that at home. When you are rejected, don't get angry. Don't get in the flesh. Don't. There's nothing. Somebody says, I'm giving you only 5 minutes. You now stand there and you say, hey, do you know me? You're giving me 5 minutes. Do you know the message I'm carrying? Do you know what I preach? You are giving me 5 minutes. Even me, they give me 3 minutes. And I'll say, yes, please. The message can be preached quickly in 3 minutes. Yeah. If you have been on it, it's just a nice message. And you have already preached beautifully. So don't say that, hey, you are the people that are perishing. I knew from the very onset when I saw you, I knew that you are perished. In fact, you have perished. No, when you do that, they will not listen to you. And they will also despise the Jesus that you have to preach. And what happens is that they don't only despise you. They use you as a template to despise others. So they will say that, I met some lady. She told me that I've perished already. Then it blocks the door. Now, there's nobody here like that, right? Great. So, you're going to handle it with care. So, some are going to reject the message that you preach. Some are going to call you mad. Acts of the Apostles 26:24. Paul standing before, you know, King Agrippa and Governor Festus. Acts 26:24. You know, people call you indoctrinated or call me indoctrinated. That's mad to an extent. It's like you are being controlled by a certain false doctrine. Right? After you've shown them two scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, they will still say, you are mad, can't you see? And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. It means the message you're preaching is a crazy one. Don't take offense. You do the preaching. Allow God's Spirit do the convicting. Lastly, some will say to you, that is a hard thing to believe. It's a reaction. And sometimes it's going to show in their face. You just mean we should believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and that's all it takes to be saved and be, you know, part of God's family. Yes. That's all it requires. You mean I shouldn't? Then all the questions are going to start coming. You mean I can fornicate? Sometimes some people are interesting. Why do you use fornication? You know, that's like chief sin. Or they bring up, so you mean I can still. Why don't you just trust Jesus to do what he will do? So there's some people who are going to say, what you're saying is a hard thing. Don't be offended. I told us that teach overwhelmingly with scriptures. That's why I keep teaching you. In John 6:60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? You have to teach overwhelmingly with scriptures. You should be armed with scriptures. Even if you can't keep it in your head, you should have scriptures on salvation, scriptures on forgiveness, scriptures on justification, scriptures on, it's like 16. So when you sit down, anywhere the 10, you see that you have the scriptures, you open from one, open to another, open from one, open to another, you explain, you open from one, you open to another. Say, oh no, it's okay. You are only using Old Testament. Okay, let me show you New Testament. You open here. You open here. You explain. You expound. You explain. You expound. You explain. You expound. You teach clearly. Right? So I want to encourage every one of you. Don't be afraid of all of these different types of reactions. Some people will react wrongly. At least you have not had urine poured on you before, so you have not gotten there. You have not been imprisoned and beaten before. You have not been told that, hey, if I see you cross this line again, there are different types of reactions. But oh, evangelist, the Lord wants you to be strong. And like I said yesterday, do not be afraid of the faces of men. As you go out to preach, at your workplaces, in church, don't be afraid to stand before the people, sing before the people. Don't be afraid. Those of you who have not listened to that message, go back and listen to it. Short exhortation, but it's going to deliver you from the fear of men, which I said was a snare. Right? So, oh evangelist, as you go out for evangelism tomorrow, I see a mighty harvest ahead of you. Your message will sweep souls to believe in Jesus. You have more men receiving and responding rightly to your gospel as you preach. As you preach, there will be healings. There will be signs. There will be wonders. There will be sights. There will be experiences. Your message will not just be natural. It will cut and it will pierce through hearts as they hear you preach. As you lay hands on the sick, I pray for you. Grace on my life is upon you. Jesus working in you, accompanying that word that you preach mightily with signs and wonders. Men also that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost will be filled, and it will be swift because there will be God's grace on you, working through you to accomplish his will. Be blessed, O evangelist, in all your evangelism endeavors. And have a spicy evangelism tomorrow. I will see you in church on Sunday. For those who are going to be at Legon or at home, I certainly will see you for evangelism tomorrow. We are loud on church service, right? So make sure all the people you need to get for church service, you are getting them around. Don't let them slip out of your fingers.